But how many of you are ready to worship the Lord this morning and get into God's Word and just are you ready to grow this morning? Are you ready to just surrender some things and just let God be God this morning? Because, man, I tell you, I believe that He wants to be. I know that He does. He wants to be Lord and Savior of our souls. He wants to be the leader of our life. He wants to be the one that's holding our hand and taking us down the path He wants. This morning, I just want to start out in prayer, and then we're going to get into the message. So, Father God, I love You today, and I thank You so much, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity, Lord, to serve You today. Lord, You've laid a message on my heart this morning that I really believe is for somebody here this morning. And so, God, it's important to me that I do everything You want me to do and say what You want me to say. Lord, I just pray that You'd speak into our lives today, the breath of life. Just breathe that life into us today, God. Let us know that we're alive in You. And Lord, I just pray that You'd just sweep over this place with Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that You would just speak into our spirit, into our minds, our hearts. And God, I pray that we'd open them to You today, Lord, to hear Your Word so that it changes us. Because, God, there's nothing more that I want than to be more like You today. Father, I love You. I thank You again for this time. I pray, God, that You would just speak today. Just be God. Just be You. I love You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to see you here today. And I'm sorry I'm so emotional already. I tell you. Anyways, all right, let's go. You know, in the first service, I asked everybody a question. I try to ask a question when I start out, you know, just to kind of get you on the hook. And in the first service, I asked, is there anyone in the room today, anybody here that, I mean, you can look at me and you say, man, life is going good today. Is life going good for anybody today? Okay, we got a few. That's good. Well, just so that you know, my message today is not for you. today I want to talk to those of us that are going through something difficult. Maybe a complicated season in your life, or maybe it's just someone that you know and you love and they're really struggling and it hurts you. And so you see the struggle you just know that it's real, right? There's people that struggle, and that's who I'm wanting to talk to today. You know, I have people in my life that I know personally, and of course I know you, but there's people that are close to me that, like one lady that I know, she's praying for a miracle, and God isn't answering the prayer the way she thinks He should answer it. Or I know a couple that they've been trying to conceive and have a child for many years, and today they're still barren after praying and praying and seeking the Lord, and they still don't have a baby. And then I also have another friend that, you know, that had a tumor, and the tumor was miraculously gone, and now it seems like it's back. And so I want to talk to some people that are going through some things like that. And for many of us, we're struggling today. We're here with broken and heavy hearts, maybe it's not just a really big problem. Maybe it's just an ongoing problem, one that just continually festers, you know. Like, I've heard that people say, you know, my job is okay, but it's not great. Or my marriage, it's okay, but it's not great. My finances, they're just not great. You know what I mean? You know, and to make it worse, you're here this morning, and you're probably sitting by one of these people that raised their hand and said, my life is great, you know. And so you know, I've heard it said that either you're either going into a hard season, or you're in the middle of a hard season, or you're coming out of a hard season. Because, you know, this world, it's a broken world that we live in, and life can get really difficult, can't it? It can get difficult. And I want us to see, you know, today and through Scripture, just how difficult these trials can be, not only for us, But there's people in the Bible that went through fiery trials. That's what Peter called them in the New Testament. He called them fiery trials. And so some of you might be in a fiery trial right now. You might be here this morning and say, man, I'm in that trial. And you're battling with something, and you feel like maybe today that your faith is being tested. Well, 1 Peter chapter 7, or chapter 1, verse 7, Peter tells us this. These trials will show you your faith is genuine. It's being tested as a fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. And so today, what I'm wanting to do is I want to continue the message through the book of Daniel that we started a few weeks ago. And so we're looking at Daniel and his friends, right, over the last few weeks. And we see that his friends and him, they face the test of their life in the book of Daniel. And the Hebrew boys today, we're going to be talking about them being thrown into the fiery furnace. And so we know today that their trial was really a fiery trial, wasn't it? And they're going to discover, though, something that I hope by the end of this message, you and I discover for ourselves. It's something that I hope that you'll go home and you'll think about it and you'll meditate on it and it'll let it change you. And this is what I want us to discover today. I want you to discover that a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Okay? Let's say that again. A faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. And so let's review where we've been in the book of Daniel, okay? So in week one, we remember that King Nebuchadnezzar, I was wondering if anybody would do that. He was this wicked and evil king, wasn't he? And he was the king of Babylon. And we know that he conquered Jerusalem, and we know that he went in. We talked about how he tore down the walls, he tore down the temple, and he took all the faith ritual items that they had just to mock their faith in God. We also know that he took the best and the brightest of the Hebrew boys, and he took these young men, he ripped them away from their family, he took them to a foreign country in Babylon, and there he began to indoctrinate them in the cultures and of the ways of the Babylonians. And so we know that Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were among these people that were taken. And now King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a really ego problem, man. I mean, this guy was conceited. He had such an ego problem that he built a golden statue that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And just so you kind of get an understanding of what that is, a 90 feet tall, that's 8 stories tall. That's a big golden statue. That's a lot of gold. And so it's just a big statue. And so I can't prove it, though, but I think that maybe he was picked on as a kid or something, because I think he was a little bit insecure, so he had to build him this big old statue of himself. But, it was big, 8 stories tall, right? But so we see in our story that he has all the governors, the leaders, the magistrates, the judges. He has all these leaders there. And he's brought them there so that they can dedicate this statue. And so here he is. I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar, you can see this guy with this big ego, and he comes up and he's like, well, just look at me and how important I am. You know, here's my big statue, and I want everybody here to bow down to it. And so, I mean, you can see the ego this guy has. I don't know how he got his head through the door, but he did. And so let's look in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. I want us to see a few things, and we'll get into the story. It says, then a herald is a person that would yell the message of the king, okay? So he would just get up there and shout it out. It says, when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, and if you're reading along, you'll see it lists all those instruments. I'm not going to do that today. It says, bow to the ground and worship the king Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. And so what we see here through the scripture is that we have this guy, and he builds himself this big statue made out of gold, and he tells everybody, hey, you're going to worship the statue that I made in my image, and if you don't, then you're just going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And so I want us to see these teenage boys Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they are. They're teenagers or about that age. We know that they were captured somewhere around 14, 15 years old. We don't really know how much time has passed between the capture and this moment, but they were still young men. I know that. And these young men, they didn't want to worship a false idol. And if you think about it, it doesn't really get any worse than the situation that they're in today, does it? I mean, basically the message that they just received was, when the band starts playing, you got to bow down and worship the king. And if you don't, you're going to be a crispy critter. We're going to burn you up. Like, literally, you're going to die, okay? Which makes this a what? What does that make this? It makes it a test, right? And what did we say earlier? A faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted, okay? And I believe that some of you right now, you're in the middle of a test, and your unwavering faith is being strengthened by that test today. You see, because faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. All right, so let's get back to our story. So the king says, he says to bow down and worship the statue or you're going to die. That's what he tells them. And I want us to see this really quick. There's this big crowd there, all these leaders and all this big crowd. And they're there. And what do you think that this crowd did when the music started playing? Did they stand or did they bow? They bowed down. That's right. Why did they bow down? Because they didn't want to die. Pretty simple there, huh? They just didn't want to die. So let's look at verse 7 and see what it says, okay? It says, so at the sound of the musical instruments, all of the people, whatever race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So this picture here, if we look at this, we have to think about this. This is a gigantic golden statue, and everybody there, they're all these important people, and they're bowing down and they're worshiping just as soon as the music started. And I don't know what they're saying, oh, great statue or great king, you're amazing. I have no idea what they were saying, but they were bowing down and they were worshiping this false god or this false image of this man, Nebuchadnezzar. And so, but then we also see that we have these three Hebrew boys and they're standing. I mean, they're not bowing. They're still standing. And you see all the other people, they're looking, oh man, they're still standing. I'm going to tell the king. And so they go and they rat them out and they tell the king and they say, hey, you know those Hebrew boys that you brought over here and that you promoted? Well, they're not worshiping you. And old King Nebuchadnezzar gets a little mad about it. Well, you know what? They better do what's right. I told them. And so he's all getting mad and aggravated. And I'm King Nebuchadnezzar, and I got a statue of me, and they better worship me. And so he was all upset. And so he basically just shouts out at the boys, and he tells them, he says, look, you're either going to burn or you're going to bow. And verse 16 tells us what they did. Let's look at that, okay? And as we look at this, I want us to see here that they did it with a lot of respect. I mean, they did it lovingly. They weren't arrogant. They weren't mean about it and not critical. But I want us to see that they were very clear about what they said. Side note, I want you to know, when we speak about God and about our Savior, you see, sometimes we just have to say it. You just have to say it. You can't, I'm going to get back over here. I'm getting off, okay? So, but you have to say it in love, all right? We have to tell people that Jesus loves them, but we have to do it in love. And so, and we need to be clear about it. Okay, here we go. King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. This is the Hebrew boy speaking. He says, if we were thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And our God will deliver us from your majesty's hand. And so basically what they're saying, they're just being really polite and correct about it, but they're just saying, look, we don't need to tell you about our faith and defend our faith. We don't need to make a big point about this issue. I'm just going to tell you right now, we serve God. We're not going to serve you. We're not going to bow down. We only bow down to our Lord. And so they said that, and they said, because the God we serve is able. And I want you to think about this for a moment, okay? I mean, that would preach right there, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be easy to preach a message right there. My God is able, you know? But when your life is on the line, when you're about to be thrown into that fire, and they say, oh, our God is able, And when everybody else around you, nobody else but you and your two buddies are standing, everybody else is bowed down, and there you are, you're standing up and you're saying, our God is able. Think about that. You see, these young boys, they refused to compromise their faith, even in the face of death. And we need to let that sink in for just a moment, I think. I think as I thought about this, man, that's bold. That's a bold faith that they have. And you know the reason they could have that bold faith is because they knew what we're talking about today. They knew that a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. This isn't the first time that their faith had ever been tested, so they had confidence in God. They knew that their God was able. And so I want us, though, to take, as we're reading this story, I want us to recognize and acknowledge for a minute that how easy it would have been for these three boys to just give in, right? I mean, they're in a foreign land. Mom and dad's not there looking at them saying, you better do what's right. I mean, they're out there on their own. And it would have been so easy. I mean, they could have even just bowed down and faked like they were worshiping. But they didn't even go that far. They wouldn't compromise that much. They didn't want to blend in. They wanted to stand out for the Lord. And so you can see how easy it would have been for them to rationalize and even compromise their faith to fit in and be safe so they wouldn't be killed. But what they did is they refused to compromise their faith, even in the face of death. And, you know, to be real, though, I think that it's hard for you and I to sit here today and really imagine how difficult this would have been. You see, it's easy for us to maybe write off this story as an Old Testament Bible story and say, well, you know what? My faith will never be tested like that, and I hope that it's not. I hope that you never face a test that way. But I want to say right now, your faith is tested in so many ways every single day. Sometimes we don't even recognize our faith as being tempted. Like whether you compromise and you laugh at that dirty joke or you don't. You made a decision one way or the other, didn't you? Or whether you compromise to join in the gossip or you don't. Whether you treat people with love and respect or you don't. You see, every single day of our life, your faith and my faith is tested. And we have a choice between doing what's right and doing what's easy, don't we? We can either do what's pleasing to God or we can do what's pleasing to man. And let me describe it this way. Let me say it this way. You have the choice between worshiping God or giving your heart to an idol. And I know some of you say, oh, I would never give my heart to an idol. Scroll, 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 scroll. Or I'd never give my heart to an idol. Football team, football team, football team. Or I'd never give my heart to an idol. Look at my house and my car and my new shoes and my purse and my, you know, all my stuff. Listen to me this morning. I want you to understand this. If you're committed to serving God, the devil will tempt you to compromise your faith in God every single day. Every day. Now let's get back to our story, okay? All right. Even in the face of death, these boys, they refused to compromise their faith in God. And I want to look at their unwavering faith today, okay? Verse 17 says this. It says, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us. Man, can I tell you that whenever I've had hard times in my life, I have to tell myself something. I have to talk myself through situations. Am I the only one? Anybody do that? Okay. Sometimes I say, no matter what I face today, my God is able. No matter what I face, my God is able. Because I serve the God who says that within him all things are possible. Amen. I serve the kind of God that's able to open up blinded eyes. I serve the kind of God that can cause the deaf to hear. We serve the kind of God that can call the dead things back to life. Amen. Because our God is able. Amen. Our God is able. And so I don't know what it'll be for you. I don't. You might get a bad medical report. But I want to remind you this morning that my God is able to heal. Maybe you're in a broken relationship and you think, well, there's no way God will ever fix my marriage. I want you to know that God is able to restore broken marriages and broken relationships today. You might be here today and you might be struggling financially. And I mean, who's not, right? I mean, it's hard to go buy a gallon of milk, let alone have money for rent and a place to live, right? I mean, this is a terrible time to live as far as finances go. But I'm here to remind you this morning that the God we serve, he's able to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? My God is able. I want somebody to say that with me. My God is able. Let's say it again. My God is able. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. And so let me ask you this. Now that we've said my God is able, I want to ask you this question. Well, what if God is able, but he doesn't? What if he's able to heal us, but he doesn't? What if he's able to provide for you, but you're still broke, right? What if he's able and he doesn't? Somebody said he has better plans. That's right. That's right. We'll still follow him. You see, anybody that's ever been there in these tough times like this, just like these boys, they faced this real possibility of danger. And they said, you know what? We know our God is able. They stood on their faith and they didn't waver. Let's get to verse 17. It says this. It says, the God we serve is able to save us. And there's what they're saying is he can, and we believe that he will, right? And it goes on, it says, he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But you know, sometimes, how many of you know that he doesn't always do what he can or what we think that he should, right? Sometimes he doesn't always do what he can do because it's not in his will. And sometimes he doesn't do what we think he should, because that's not in his will, right? And so they go on and they say this. They say, he will save us, but even if he doesn't, kind of like what you were saying, Brett, even if he doesn't, we want to make it really clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you've set up before us, because we serve a God that is able. Amen? And whatever it is that you're facing right now, whatever it is, whenever you're in a fiery trial, and I know that many of you are right now, you're in the midst of it right now, and you're asking God to deliver you. One of the greatest statements that you can ever make, and it's going to go like this, all right? It's, God, I believe you can, and God, I believe you will, but even if you don't, I still believe. I still believe. Someone say that with me. You say that with me, okay? God, I believe you will. What is that? God, I believe you. Okay, that's not right. My screen's not right. I believe you can. God, I believe you can. God, I believe you will. But even if you don't, I still believe. Even if you don't, God, I'm still going to trust you. Even if you don't, I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to honor you. I'm still going to believe. You know what? I believe that there's some of you that God didn't do what you thought he should do or when he should do it or whatever, and you just walk away from God. Can I say this very lovingly, that is not unwavering faith. Faith is believing that he can, but faith is also believing that he is king. Unwavering faith, it's a faith that's been tested, and it's a faith that you can trust. You see, unwavering faith, it also believes on the other side of disappointment. Sometimes we think God didn't do what he wants us to do, and we just turn our back on him. But sometimes, I'm telling you, unwavering faith has to believe on the other side of disappointment, because at some time and at some point in your life, you're going to have to determine something. You're going to have to decide, is he God or are you? And I believe you can, God, and I believe you will, God. But even if you don't, I'm still going to serve you. I still believe. And so the king ordered the furnace. Let's go to our story. The king, he orders this furnace to be turned up 7 times hotter than it was. And so Here he is. He's all mad and pouting around. He's, turn that furnace up, make it hot because these boys aren't serving me. And he's all throwing his little fit. And so he tells the soldiers, he says, hey, I want you to go and grab these three boys and tie them up and throw them into the fire. And so that's what they did. They tied them up and they brought them over and they opened up the door. And the fire was so hot that the men that were throwing these boys in, they died because the fire was that hot. And we see right there that God has already protected them because they made it all the way in. These boys didn't. The soldiers didn't make it in. And so we see that they're in the fire and they're walking around. And then all of a sudden the king looks in and he's really shocked. And he's looking through there and he's like, hey, he said, didn't we just throw three in there? And his guys are like, yeah, king, that's all we threw in there was three. And he's like, well, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth one is like the Son of God. Man, I'm telling you, things just got powerful in this story, didn't it? It kind of went up a notch, didn't it? Because you know why? Because our God is able. These three men were thrown into the fire, and the fourth man appears. And who is the fourth man in the fire? Yes, Jesus. If you look at scholars throughout the reading and you try to study this out, most of them think that it was Jesus himself. They call it a Christophany. It's when the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. It's called a Christophany. And so Jesus is in the fire with the boys. And this is where the story for me just got just amazing. I loved this when the Lord laid it on my heart. Because you see, the thing about this is Jesus met them in the fire. In the fire. And I want you to hold that thought for just a minute. We're going to come back to it, and it's going to get a little personal. But we're going to fast forward to the end of the story really quick, okay? So the story tells us that they survived, right? We all know that they survived. And not only did they survive, we know that there was no harm to them. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And I feel in my spirit today, I feel in my heart, as I was preparing this message, and I don't know who it is, but I just feel in my heart so heavy today that there's someone right now in this place, and you're going through a fiery trial. And I just want to tell you this morning that by the power and by the grace of God, not only are you going to make it through this trial, but you're not going to be harmed, and you're not even going to smell like smoke. I believe it with all my heart that God is going to prove himself faithful to you this morning. And then it says here, it says the next thing that we know, O King Nebuchadnezzar, he's the one, he despised the boys for their unwavering faith, didn't he? He promoted the boys, and he decided right then, whenever he seen that there was a fourth man in there and that they came out unscathed, he decided right then and there, he said, if any God can do that, he said, I want to put my faith in that God. And he gave his heart to Jesus that day. I want us to read that in verse 28. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, praise be to God. You see here, he's worshiping. A moment ago, he was doubting, and now here he is, he's worshiping already. I think this is so cool. He says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except for their own God. Man, what they're basically saying is, our God is able. Our God is able. And our God showed up and he rescued them, didn't he? And I want to slow down for just a minute, and I want us to go back and I want us to see something here. I want you to notice that God didn't deliver them from the fire. He delivered them in the fire. You see, in the fire, man, this is important right here. And I hope you'll hear this. That God doesn't always deliver us from our trials, but he is always with us in the trial. Okay? I want you to remember that when you're going through something, God may not deliver you from it, but I can promise you he's there with you. If you've asked him to be with you and to walk with you, he's with you that in the middle of that. And in the middle of the biggest fiery trial that these young boys ever faced in their life, right there in the middle of that storm, that's where they met Jesus. I want you to picture this. You see, they knew God. They served God. We're not bowing down. We've got our standards, and we're not doing that. They trusted God. They believed in God. But this is where they actually face to face got to meet Jesus. I think that's a beautiful thing. And that's why I want to talk to those of you here this morning that you may be in a difficult situation, because I know that for me and my family over the last few years, it's been the more difficult years than we've had in the last 23 years of ministry. But I also know that in the middle of those fires, we have never been more aware of the presence and the goodness of God, because he was with us in the fire. And I hope you know that Jesus will always meet you in the fire. And I want you to think about these three Hebrew boys for just a minute, if you will. Here they are. They're in the fire, and here comes Jesus walking to them. I mean, I love picturing things like this. I'm visual. And I think this is so cool. Here comes Jesus, and he's walking up to them in the fire. They're surrounded by all the heat, and the flames are everywhere, and Jesus just steps right in there with them. I think that is so amazing. And I think to myself, I wonder what did Jesus say to them? What did Jesus say when he went up to them? Did he walk up to them and say, I just want you to know I'm so proud of you. Your unwavering faith. Man, you're making it through this trial. Or did he walk up to them and he say something like, you know what? You don't know it yet, but when we get out of here, Onebi, he's going to give his life to me. He's going to surrender his heart to me today. Or I wonder if he told them, hey guys, I know this is a hard trial today. I know this is tough, but I want you to know something. For years and years to come, people that are struggling with fiery trials like you're in right now, they're going to be encouraged by your story. I just wonder what Jesus spoke to them and when he met them in the fire. And when you think about it, the fiery furnace, that looked like it was going to be the end for these boys, didn't it? It looked like life couldn't go on. But it turned out to be the place where they actually met Jesus. You see, you and I, we may face a fiery trial and we may be afraid to go into it, but I want you to know Jesus will meet you in the fire, and that's where you'll meet Jesus when you're going through something. You'll meet him in the fire. And when he does, he's going to speak to you and he's going to talk to you like he did the Hebrew boys. And I don't know what he'll say to you, but I do know this. I do know you're going to need to listen. Sometimes we get so busy going to God and all we do is all the talking, all the talking, all the talking. Sometimes we need to do the listening. And I believe when God comes to us in our trials, in our tribulations, he comes to us and he speaks to us. And I don't know what he's going to say for you. I don't know what he'll say, but I do know that he'll speak to you. Maybe it's through his word. Maybe it's through a sermon. Maybe the Holy Spirit's going to come and speak to you on his behalf. I have no idea, but I do know this. He's going to tell you how much he loves you. He's going to tell you how proud he is of your unwavering faith. And he may tell you that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. But I want you to believe this when I tell you this, because I've lived it. He is always, always with me in the fire. And he will always be with you in the fire as well. He's with you now. He's here in this place this morning. And we need to meet Jesus in the fire. If you will, stand with me, if you would. Bow your heads with me for just a moment, if you would. Let's just pray. Father, we worship you this morning, God. We praise you. Father, we believe that you are a God that can. We also believe that you're a God that will. But God, we also declare to you this morning, it is not in your will and you don't, God, we're still going to serve you. We're still going to trust you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're in a fiery trial and you need prayer, or maybe today someone you know close to you, someone you love, they're in a fiery trial and they need Jesus to walk with them through this trial, I just want you to lift your hand up right now and say, Pastor Jack, pray with me. I'm walking through a fiery trial right now, and I need Jesus. And I believe that he can, and I believe that he will. But even if he don't, I will still praise you. I will still worship you, God. Father, I pray for every hand that's raised in this place right now. I pray, God, that you would speak into their heart and into their life, into the situation, into this fiery trial that they're in this morning. God, you're the only one that knows. You're the only one that knows the future of that trial. But God, what we do know is that you're a God that can, and you're a God that will. But even if you don't, God, we will still serve you. And God, we trust you. We trust you because a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. And so, God, we trust you because you have tested our faith time and time again. And so, Father, today, I just come to you and I ask that you would just minister to each and every person here that's in a situation, in a trial. Lord, that you would just speak into that situation today as only you can through your Holy Spirit. And God, you know, these, in a strange way, I'm thankful for these trials because they do prove that it's, our faith is tested. And so, God, thank you. Thank you for that today. You're a God of supernatural healing. You're a God of provision. You're a God of restoration, a God of salvation. You're everything to us, God. And Lord, we put our trial, we lay it to you at your feet this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would meet us in our trial today. Help us, Lord Jesus. Father, I believe that there's people that are here and they're praying right now, and they're listening to us pray, and they're thinking to themselves, you know, I don't even know this Jesus. I don't know this Jesus, and I'm in a fiery trial, and I'm so alone because I don't know this Jesus, and I don't want to be alone in this trial anymore. And so you want this morning to receive Jesus as your Savior. You can meet him in your trial this very moment, this morning. Father, meet us in the fire today. Meet those that need you. You see, this morning, I just want to pray with you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you're in the trial and you see yourself in there alone and you want Jesus to meet you in the trial this morning, I just want you to raise your hand and say, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.